Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Nordman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the Wisconsin On Demand app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. How you like me now?
How you like me now? It is a Victory Monday, and it's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and my favorite, Screaming Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. It's Ben Brust alongside Packer backer till death Kyle Wallace and Super Bowl 50 runner-up Brad Nordman. Alex Strofe running the show, and you, KBN Nation, at 800-990-3776. You can see Where's Waldo Kyle Wallace on YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee, and at ESPN Madison. Earlier this morning on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee from 7 to 9, Rob Domofsky, ESPN reporter, joined our pals in the morning and had this nugget about Jordan Love.
This is our pack. This is our...
Whoops, guys. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, that's just Brad being toned down.
That was an accident. Sorry,
at least
guys.
If you play the Brad, I got at least hear.
It's
know.
Growing on me, honestly. I get why
anybody.
KBN Nation is requesting it from DJ Strofe.
No, that was an accident, guys. Sorry. Here's Rob Domofsky on 10 Gabe and Chewy.
So I do think the defense, sort of getting back to your point about the front seven, Chewy, I think next week if Malik Willis does have to play again, and I'm not convinced that he's going to. From what I was told, Jordan Love was very close to playing and that was not a charade. If Malik Willis has to play again, and you're right, I can't imagine that they would be able to put up that kind of rushing numbers a second week in a row.
Not a charade, according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN. And that was the conversation as the status of Jordan Love changed throughout the week, right? I mean, I would say from Friday, thinking the season was over, to hearing MCL sprain, which could be anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, to another report saying they weren't looking to sign a free agent quarterback because it might look like 1 to 2 weeks, to then day-to-day, to then questionable. And I just think I want to know if the performance this week changes your mind on like the period of time you're willing to give Love time to heal, right? Like, did last week give you faith that they can beat Tennessee on the road with Malik Willis? And if so, is that worth another week of rest for Jordan Love? 800-990-3776.
Boy, I gave my flowers to Matt LaFleur for an amazing game plan and Malik Willis for executing that. But you got to get Jordan Love back and you got to play. Look, if he's 80%, I will still contend this. I said this last week. If there's no major risk for more structural damage, which doesn't look like that's the case, you can wear brace, you can do things to protect, and he's 80%, you got to play the man. I mean, 80,
80?
Play the man. Listen, the Packers will
Brad,
have a hard time.
Brad, you were a punter.
What's
you
that supposed to mean?
As important as the quarterback.
I worked through some nicks and bruises and strains
in
my day.
I'm not saying you didn't.
But and here's the reason why, though. Listen, I said last week, if the Packers are going to steal a victory with Malik Willis starting for them, it's going to be the first week he plays. You have to rely on a little bit of expect the unexpected, misdirection, doing things that you can't necessarily game plan for because you can't game for. You don't really know what the Packers are going to come out and do. But boy, oh boy, the Tennessee Titans are a much better defense than the Indianapolis Colts. They know Malik Willis. Everything is on film now. You could even see it in the game yesterday. There was a shift in the game plan. The offense wasn't as successful in the first half or the second half that it was the first half. I just think that every win matters so much in the NFL. And if Jordan Love is this close to playing, that he was actually in the realm of possibilities, might have been able to go yesterday, then you got to play him on Sunday because they're going to have a really hard time replicating this and running the ball 40-plus times against the Tennessee Titans and actually getting a win. So the sooner you can get Jordan Love back, the better, because every win matters. I don't care if you say how early in the season it is, you're going to wish that you won more games in December and January and not having to play catch-up and maybe even having a home playoff game at Lambeau. So if he is close to being ready, you put him in and play him. Even that, and I'll say this, Matt LaFleur, show me that you can draw up a game plan that revolves not a lot of mobility from your quarterback. If that's the issue, have him stay in the pocket. Have it be quick passes. I'd
Here's
still rather
the thing.
Have that.
He didn't even have a rush attempt in week one. Now, maybe that had to do with his ability to trust the field in Brazil, but Jordan Love wasn't looking to run in week one. So if you can get this offensive line to play at an elite level, knowing that their job is, hey, that is a $220 million investment, and we have to, you talked about it, right? For this week specifically with Malik Willis, everybody needed to step up. Wide receivers, defense, special teams, you name it, coaches, locker room attendant, person who hands out the towels in the shower. Everyone had to be better, and they were. It would be to the next degree that they need to be better to protect Jordan Love. And that's where I start questioning my trust of rushing him back, because we can go back and look at our polls that we put out of what the Packers' record would be with Malik Willis. A lot of people only thought winning one game. Well, he's already got that one game, and if it's only going to be 2 weeks without Love, I think if we said, would you trade 1-1 for 2 weeks of Jordan Love being out, a lot of people would take it. I'm not saying you're supposed to, but you got to protect your investment because it is a 17-game season, not 16. There's a little bit more gray area, and as Kyle pointed out, annoying me with his naming teams that are stuck in the muck in the NFC. It's not like anybody's not like you're you have a million teams that started 2-0 that's competition outside the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, for real. And I call
you specifically
bull crap on this report. I love Rob Demosky, but whoever told him that, listen, that man wasn't close to playing. I don't believe it not one bit. The Green Bay Packers knew the very moment that he got off that plane from Brazil and he got that MRI, they knew for a fact they were not going to allow him to play a football game. And they shouldn't allow him to play again until he is healthy. Because, Brad, the most important thing about this Green Bay Packers football team this season is the health of Jordan Love. I will be more than happy to sacrifice next week, as Ben was kind of alluding to. Sacrifice us being at full strength and not having Jordan Love next week to have a more healthy Jordan Love moving forward with the season. I'm happy that he's getting closer to playing, but until he does not feel really, really good and really, really confident in that knee, I don't need him on that football field. And I believe, based off what we saw from Malik Willis, he perfected the game plan perfectly. He was a perfect quarterback for what we needed on Sunday yesterday. And so for me, overall, I don't need Jordan Love to play. I'm not concerned about what they're saying. All I know is Jordan Love should just rest up, and once Jordan Love doesn't feel any type of pain in that knee where he's concerned about that knee, then we consider playing him. But other than that, I really believe that Malik Willis can replicate what he did. He checked all the boxes.
Now, let me ask you this, because replicating may not be enough, because Eric chimes in and he's, you know, providing more context to the what would it be like for Malik Willis against the Tennessee Titans team. Titans have the number two defense in yards allowed and 24th in points allowed. So it's a better defense than Indy, and that's the thing, as Brad said. And I think I alluded
and everything's
to this,
on film.
I alluded to this last week. You always have an advantage the first week of a backup, and then, as you mentioned, they get film. What more can you add to trust Malik Willis to do against a better defense?
The only argument I'll accept, like I'm the one that gets to judge the arguments here, but the only argument that I think makes sense to me is if you say, the word you use, sacrifice. I'm willing to sacrifice a game to let Love come back fully healthy. Basically, if you're saying, you know what, Malik Willis, he got us one win. So we're walking around with one win in our pocket. If that guarantees a loss this upcoming week, which I think would be kind of the level of expectation,
I'd
given,
say 50-50, it'd be the same thing. It'd be a coin flip.
And it would be more than a coin flip with Jordan Love, tilted in the Packers' direction.
Of course.
So you'd have to go into it saying, I am very okay with a 1-1 experience with Malik Willis and just let Love come further back. That's the only argument that I think makes sense to me. Because you don't go into the game thinking he's our best chance to win.
This is what y'all have to understand. Malik Willis is not a great NFL quarterback, right? What he showed what he showed us yesterday is the fact that he is okay. He's an average NFL quarterback. And in this football game against the Tennessee Titans, guess what? On the other side of that football field, Will Levis is an okay quarterback. He's an okay football player. And so with that, that gives our defense, if they can step up the way they did against the Colts yesterday, against, I think, a guy who has a higher ceiling, Anthony Richardson, you can find yourself in a dogfight when it comes down to the end in the fourth quarter. That's the opportunity that you have. That's why it's not essential that you have Jordan Love. Malik Willis can do exactly what he did last week. It's going to look different. But if the Packers can keep it low, keep it close, keep it under 23 points, the Packers can win that football game. And based off the offense the Titans have, I think the Packers defense can do that.
You brought up the Will Levis point. You know, there are two sides of the football, and there is special teams. It's also the Narv Dog revenge game, for the record. Will Levis has had each week has had like I blinked twice and I was like, did that actually happen? Because week one, it was throwing it to the Chicago Bears. And then week two, he had another one.
He threw it backwards, I think.
Yes. He rolled the ball on the ground. He literally he took the football, and as he was falling, he rolled it like he was trying to get a strike in bowling. It was that bad. And so there's going to – what do we know about this defense thus far? They're what?
They force turnovers.
Opportunistic. And so if they can go out with Malik Willis and know that it's going to be a dogfight and have faith that the special teams and defense can continue to rise to the occasion while giving Jordan Love more time to heal, it is definitely something that Matt LaFleur has to consider. Alex Strofe.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur meeting with the media right now, guys, according to our buddy, the aforementioned Rob Domofsky. LaFleur said, ideally, if Love was to play this week at Tennessee, the QB would practice at least a little, since it will have been 2 weeks without doing anything on the field since the injury. That is the ideal situation, but it is not a prerequisite, according to the head coach.
More gray area.
Indeed.
Gotta love it.
I honestly kind of love it.
I do, too. I mean, look, at this point, maybe it was a good strategy last week to keep it gray, because now this week it feels even closer to him playing, but it's also gray.
Right, and it makes me happy. Because,
long game.
And I know Kyle will relate to this, because Kyle and I are the two biggest fans of the Packers on the show. We were also the two biggest fans of trash reality television on the show.
Big fan.
Bro, the NFL knows dramatics
and
fireworks.
Add me into the trash reality television.
Right, what's your favorite show recently?
Love Island USA, are you kidding?
Oh, okay. I've never been a Love Island guy. Too many episodes to watch.
I don't have the package to watch it.
But anyway, the NFL knows dramatics unlike anybody else. I mean, it is right up there with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. You know, it's so good.
I know, that's why I love this league.
Right there with you, bro.
As they say, this league. Look, it's Victory Monday, and we would be doing a disservice to everyone if we didn't tell them to call KB la la la. That's what you got to tell Gina Della from Pella, because she will provide a victory for your home. 855-PELLA-WI, PellaWI.com, and I have Gina scheduled with her team, Joe Franco, Alex Della, to come over to my house.
Cool.
You can cool it all you want. It's going to be super cool when they come in and look at what I have, and then we can create a plan to help execute beautiful windows in my home that will help make it nice and cozy and warm for my baby daughter, who this will be her first, like, real winter. She was born late in January. Obviously, you know, always wrapped up, but like she's a person now. I want her to be warm and cozy. And how's she gonna do that? She's gonna have better windows in her house.
And we've seen it with our own two eyes at the showroom. You got to go check out the showroom. There's so much when it comes to patio doors for windows. Pella can match any style, any color. Everything is custom made for your exact house. You're going to increase the value of your home. Got to love that in today's economy. Also lowering your energy bills. Winter is on its way. Don't let this warm weather fool you. Pella Windows and Doors is the place to go to make sure you get quality craftsmanship and innovative design. By September 30th, get it windows as low as $18 a month. And patio doors for as low as $81 a month. Visit PellaWI.com today or call them. Tell them KBN sent you.
Josh Myers puked on the football. Brad Nortman did something also weird in his football days. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN. Mm.
Do you wash your shins in the shower? We shower from hair to kneecap. The rest can drip down our legs to our feet.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it does work that way.
What does the poll say?
34% don't wash their shins.
That is shockingly low. KBN Nation, you're better than that.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot of disgusting human beings on this planet.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Ben Bruss alongside Where's Waldo, Kyle Wallace. Dancing his butt off.
He's got some rhythm.
Quit
I'm not going to lie.
Hey.
Just because you have zero rhythm doesn't mean he has a lot of rhythm.
I like hanging around people with no rhythm. It makes me feel like I do.
It's true.
That's
I have
I'm
no
saying.
Rhythm, too.
It's like us, me and Alex Stroh, feeling like we can sing just because our voices are next to yours in a song.
That means you got at least a little bit of something.
Just a little bit.
More than I can say.
Not a lot of it. 800-990-3776. Brad Nortman, you spent a lot of time in the NFL. What was your first thought when you saw and heard that Matt LaFleur in his press conference talked about how Malik Willis didn't throw the ball on third down because Josh Myers puked on the football before he snapped it?
Well, it just reminded me that football dudes are football dudes. That is my only takeaway. Like,
do you consider yourself a football dude?
Hell yeah, I'm a football dude.
That response right there.
Look at the shirt. Legends community. Right here. I don't know what it
what
means.
What a shirt to wear today. Legends community. They only give this to guys that have actually played in the NFL, boys. Think about that. And I think you have to have a minimum number of years, too. In the Legends community. It reminded me that these dudes, I mean, for reality, though, like, oh, these dudes are just built different and, like, built different from us punters, too. I'll give you that much. One of the things that it reminded me of was when I played for Carolina, Mike Tolbert, awesome guy, fullback slash running back for the Carolina Panthers.
Gonna say he's like a third and one, like, getting the ball.
Yeah, he was bowling ball. He was a
touchdown vulture.
Yeah, yeah. He was a bowling ball. But amazing dude. If it wasn't for so many other captains on our team, he was a guy that would be like classic captain type material. Friends with everybody. Gamer. He would go around and he would take a water bottle, you know, like an empty water bottle, and he would like tape it up.
A squirt bottle?
Like a 16.9 ounce.
The green Gatorade ones.
No. Like a plastic one that you'd buy at like wherever.
Oh, yeah.
No free ads, but like a, you know, whatever.
Like a plastic water bottle.
Yeah. So anyway, he would take about 30 smelling salts and he would jam them in there. He'd shake it up a little bit, and he'd go around and walk around the locker room. And his guys are sitting in their seats, and they're sort of like getting ready for game day. This is like a half hour before the game. He would go up, and he would squeeze the water bottle right in front of their face, and that shot of smelling salts just wakes you up and gets you going. And some guys would ask for it. Other guys wouldn't ask for it. A couple times he went up to me and he squeezed it in front of my face and I was like, and it woke me up and I was ready for it. And he called it his booger sugar. He said, "Who wants some of this booger sugar?"
Oh, that's a good booger sugar.
And then some guys would like line up for like their shot of it through their face. But
they're
shooting
booger sugars at him?
Booger sugar.
I never asked
for my dosage of booger sugar, but I would get it from time to time. And let me say, when I did that, I finally understood why that would be something to wake up a guy from like a concussion, or guys would go out there for the kickoff and they'd smell and throw it down.
I've never had a smelling salt. Have you guys had a smelling salt?
No, I don't recall.
Strove, when have you had a smelling salt?
I remember smelling it, but not for real.
Several times. I just feel like they were like a popular pre-party thing. If you're going out to the bars
pre-party?
Late.
Pre-party? Yeah.
Dog, you are so like, weird. So many weird stories.
I never purchased them, but yeah, no, if you're going out late, like if you have like a, like when I was in college, I feel like they made appearances a lot.
I guess like back in the day, we would do energy beers. We would just
What's an energy beer?
We would just put like that energy powder into a beer.
Ew.
Ew.
Yeah, energy beers, baby.
Oh, that's
the hockey guys and myself.
Hold on a minute. Don't like energy powders, aren't those like flavors of like acai berry?
Yeah, why would you do that with
how
like
would that
we would do energy beers?
Why would you do that with like vodka or tequila or something?
I don't know.
That
it
makes
was a
lot
thing.
More sense.
It's just our thing. Energy
oh,
beers.
Oh my goodness.
And you say I have weird stories, Kyle.
What's weirder?
Strofe
doing smelling salts or energy beers?
That's odd, but the fact that Strofe was at parties and they had these salts, and instead of like, just like, I don't know, they let's get ourselves lit up here. Hey, give me the salt. Give me some of that. Oh, get me jacked up and ready to go.
And I think like usually, high school soccer, too, those made appearances.
Yeah, usually in college, they have different things to get them going.
You guys know I played soccer?
I didn't.
You played soccer in high school?
This is
wild.
This is wild.
I played basketball my freshman, sophomore, junior.
We've heard about your three-quarter court.
Yeah, that was my final JV game. Yeah. But soccer, I played my senior year. So Denmark is where I went to high school, which is south of Green Bay. And they had the worst soccer team in the state the year prior. They had allowed the most goals, and it was the year six of their program. They had never won a game.
In six years?
Yeah, I lost a bet, and I was like, sure, I'll go out. I ended up being a starting defender.
Oh, that
we were that
terrible.
Bad.
You guys must have been ass.
Terrible.
I learned the toe terrible. Kick. I suffered a concussion one game in soccer,
go
might I add. multiple headers, and I like blacked out. I don't remember this, but my mom was at the game, and she said, yeah, you were running around the field really awkwardly yelling, I think I have a concussion. And I was like, I don't
it's so on brand.
I don't remember that.
So good.
I like came to in the athletic trainer's
room.
Your
little string bean body out there in the soccer field.
I think I have a concussion.
Sub!
Doug, the coach had to just be like, this team is a whole bunch of goofballs.
Had you ever played like soccer before going out for the team?
Not since I was like 5.
And you started?
And I was a starter, yeah. The only game we won that year was against a co-ed team.
It's like,
oh, my gosh.
It's like the football team that I, the high school football team, went. I didn't play football, but we won 2 games. And they were only when the field turned to mud. We could only beat the teams that couldn't do the Malik Willis style game, ground and pound the mud.
And it was just literally in the muck.
It
slowed everybody down.
In the, you couldn't move.
And you know where the Green Bay Packers are? At the top of the muck.
God dang right. Muck banging everybody.
Dennis wants to know, Brad, what's the hardest hit you've ever taken on the field?
The hardest what?
Hit.
Hit? College or pros?
Doesn't matter.
In college, we played Arizona State. And we were playing them at Camp Randall, so this is in Wisconsin.
Oh, no.
And it's actually funny. This was the first year of doing, like, the spread punt. So I was a sophomore. And actually, in my personal protecting shield, there's 3 guys, 3 linemen. One of them was J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was on the punt team my sophomore year. This is before I really took off as a DN. So I punt it. Blast of a punt, of course. But that, of course, means that it's going to get returned. So the guy starts returning it. He kind of like goes to my right, starts working his way back up the middle. And I go from like a kind of casual jog, you know, like the little pro, you know, just gallop sort of thing that I'm doing.
Oh, crap. He might house this.
Oh, crap. And then it getting to me and sort of the last line of defenders. Amongst that last line of defenders was me and J.J. Watt. So I'm like kind of getting in the mix or whatever. And then before I know it, bam, on the ground. Some ASU player came and just blindsided
flag?
Me. Blindsided me. No flag. The worst
Those
part
of
was
it
illegal hit? Was it
yeah.
illegal hit?
I was, yeah, it would be considered an illegal hit nowadays. It was tougher back then, you know? The worst part about it was the hit was so derailing to me that it actually hit.
You started running around like Strofe on the soccer field?
It hit JJ too and prevented him from making the tackle. So I believe there was a flag and it was called back, so it wasn't anything. But I got depleted so bad that it like got in the way and actually hit JJ Watt as well. And I woke up from that one and I was like, I probably had a concussion.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those like, it's a classic like bell rung, you're a little lightheaded. What the heck just happened? Yeah, I've never had a documented concussion, but that one was pretty interesting.
They didn't document concussions when you played football.
Yeah, that's true. We were tougher.
Yeah, he was wearing leather helmets out there. Yeah. He's ancient.
Yeah, and Jason Bildy, 3:45 today.
That is correct. You going forward on Mondays with Matt LaFleur speaking at 3:00.
Speaking of the Wisconsin Badgers, yuck. Just yuck. I have a solution. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
These hands are not made for fixing anything in a house. I make a phone call, and I'm cheap, but I ain't that cheap. I got my guys. Got my handyman. Shout out to Chris. Under the table.
Just like that. Dude's getting audited now.
Yeah. On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Well, unfortunately, the best part about Badger Saturdays is the pre-party before the game. Whether it be Wisconsin College Game Day tailgate, where you can listen to what was Alex Strofe and Brad Nortman.
That was a week ago.
2 weeks ago.
Jesse Nelson and Brad Nortman.
Forget which, you know, Alex Strofe and Jesse Nelson are twins, so I forget which one I said.
They are twins.
Whoa.
Twinsies.
Unnecessary shot by me. Personal foul, 15 yards. That's his first of the game for unnecessary roughness. His second one, he'll be thrown out of the show. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Alex Strofe here with you. We talked about Jesse Nelson. Like, he's just, I'm Jesse Nelson. Kyle, you're Jesse Nelson.
Oh, wow.
You're right.
That's interesting.
He is more Jesse Nelson.
I don't mean, you know, Jesse always comes through for me, so I have no complaints.
That's great.
First for everything.
Yep. Wait till you get to know him even further.
He's off today.
Hey, vacation. Classic. We all get vacation days.
He worked from 9 to 10 a.m. He produced building tests for 1 hour.
You're joking.
And then he went golfing with his mom.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. It's a mother-son day.
Isn't that wild?
I don't know why he came in, but a mother-son day. I ain't mad at him.
Why didn't he just wait until, like,
why not just take the whole day off?
I had that, too.
Because he... wanted to say talk Packers.
Yeah, I got a text. I got a text this morning that said, "Hey, you need to get this in before 10 o'clock because Jesse's leaving." That I was like, "All right, sounds good."
It's unbelievable. And if you guys think I beat the system, he beat the system.
You're both really good at it.
He took vacation. I'm sure.
If anybody on this show is Jesse Nelson, it might be you.
Well. Y'all proposed on the same day?
I almost swore on that one, boys. Can we get to the Badgers, please, for real? Brett, I saw a tweet from a former player that said something about along the lines of, like, there's a lot of frustration even from former players, and it's not even about Chris or, you know, moving on or when they moved on and being 2 years into Fickell. It's like, it's the lack of identity. And I'm done saying the word identity because I have no faith that there is one, and there's not going to be one that develops. Before I try and take a deep breath and not go scorched earth, please tell me how you are feeling after Alabama came in here and just flat out took our lunch money.
Yeah, I'm feeling frustrated and lost, a little bit. Discouraged, more than a little bit, very discouraged by the Wisconsin Badgers. You know, last year on Wisconsin College Game Day post-game shows, particularly toward the end of the season, I used the line, you know, it's like this team is wearing the Motion W and they're wearing red and they're playing on Camp Randall, but I don't recognize them. You know, like, they have all the signs of being a Wisconsin Badger team, but they're not a Wisconsin Badger team that I recognize. It's like imposters out there. And I get it. Like, I get that Coach Fickell needs time. And maybe year one when I said that, maybe that was too soon. But I expected there to be seeds of identity being implemented this year, and you're just not seeing that yet. And I think what's hard for Wisconsin Badger fans and alumni like me is that the former identity was so clear. It was so clear and it was so strong that even when you lost to games like Alabama, at least you would look and say, you know what? We just can't play with a team like that because our identity is to be physical and, you know, do these things on offense, defense, win the line of scrimmage, run the football. And maybe our team just wasn't quite capable enough to do that this time around. They've shown that they have been able to do that against like LSU some of the years I was there. But it seems like this year there was such a recorrection. Too far of a correction of going from the old Wisconsin way that maybe it felt like couldn't win in today's college football. But then the pendulum has swung to the other side to where you're wondering, well, what is this team's identity? What do they do well? We're trying to run a high octane offense, air raid, but it doesn't look like it's effective. And it looks like we've gone so far from the traditional Wisconsin style and identity that you're just at a loss. I think it allows for you to lose patience, because if this was maybe Leonard that was keeping the same strategy, you might have more patience because it's comfortable. You're used to it. This is all very uncomfortable because it doesn't even look like the Wisconsin Badgers, and they're struggling with it. There are other ways to go about it, but this just seems so far removed from the Wisconsin Badgers that we've known and loved for three decades.
I know this is going to sound a little crazy, but I wholeheartedly believe it because I missed this man, and he was your coach. I would take Bielema in a heartbeat. I would take Brett Bielema in a
good
heartbeat.
Call, Ben.
I'm dead serious. Not even from a it's what I remember in the past, because it was so great. I know there's a long way to go for what he's doing at Illinois, but you know what they have? The Brett Bielema identity, right? Like they do. Even watching them. They play a style of football that even Illinois fans who doesn't know what a football identity is now at least has one when they're watching football games. I'm sitting on my couch on Saturday with my daughter, and I'm like, look away. I know you don't even know what's going on. I don't want you to witness what I'm watching because it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing as a Badger fan. I'm proud to be a Wisconsin Badger. There's nothing that gives me more pride than running into people that love the Badgers and love talking about it, but it's not fun when you all have to talk about, and I honestly was going in optimistic. I tried my best to put aside the, hey, first 2 weeks, so, you know, they found a way to win, trying to buy into the Tausch conversation that we had of like, you know, they're going to get better. It's only 2 weeks in. But when you are 16-point underdogs and you don't even look like you belong on the same field, it's now to a point where like, I'm getting feels of the Anderson era, right? You know, when you from Bielema.
And that wasn't even that bad.
Yeah, they won 10 games.
I understand that. And so that's my point is like, you are able in today's college football world to create quicker identity and results based off the fact that guys don't have to sit out from the transfer portal, right? It does recruiting matter? Yes. Does in-house recruiting of your own team matter? Absolutely. But if you're bringing in a transfer portal class and you're trying to mold everything together, there's not time. Time doesn't wait for anybody in life and now in sports. And it may be unfair, but that is the expectation of what it is to be a head coach at what was a premier, consistent, top 25 school. You said we were close to Nebraska of the last 10 years. I don't even think we're that, right? Like, I'm scared that when we go against Purdue and Northwestern and Rutgers, that I'm going to be sweating every game. And you know what that means? My Saturdays are now free because I'm not putting all my energy into getting excited about a team that I'm lost, as you said, watching. I'm not looking forward to it anymore. It is the bright spot of my Saturdays was to sit down and to wear red, bleed the color that the team wears, and be in there. Like, I felt like I was in the game with them. Right? There was something about the connection that I had with the team that I feel no connection to. Zero connection. Zero. I'm done with the marketing. I'm done with Squat Fest. I'm done with all that crap. It's about production and making me feel proud to be a Badger. I am not proud, and I don't feel it reflected within how the head coach even speaks, right?
Yep.
He's like, oh, that was an old-fashioned butt-whooping. Yeah, no crap. You know whose job it is to make sure that doesn't happen on our field the way it was on Saturday? You know, I'm running out of patience, and I shouldn't have to feel this way as a Badger football fan.
Putting that W on, right, for a lot of different people, that W on the helmet made you just feel as if the Wisconsin Badgers were going to go out there and they're going to play Badger football and they're going to compete. We may not be the fastest team. We may not be the strongest team, but gosh darn it, you knew that Wisconsin Badger football team was going to go out there and fight. Even talking about guys who were walk-ons like a Jimmy Leonard or a Jared Aberdares who went on to play in the NFL, we were scrappy and we were fighters. Now, I understand in the end with Paul Chris, we weren't where we needed to be, right? But what we saw Saturday and leading up into Saturday, I knew this team was in trouble when the talk coming from the football coach was more about let's see how we measure up versus let's go ahead and shock the world. Let's hit them in their dang mouth. We could win this football game. The mentality that he had was just seeing how good we are versus seeing how we're going to win this football game. And that's the issue that I have is I understand it's very early in his tenure for Coach Fickell. But when I look at places like Arizona State and out of nowhere being very, very good, or TCU who ended up in Sonny Dykes like second year making it to a college football playoff, they were able to turn around pretty quickly. Why is it that at Wisconsin, when we have the resources, right, and now we're supposed to have the recruiting to be able to do it, we don't have the results on the football field. We were given a promise that this football team was going to be able to throw the football around and put up points. I am yet to see a spectacular performance from this football team, and it ain't like they've done it against like bad football teams. We saw last week against South Dakota. They could barely really be impressive. I want to see 35-0 in the first quarter. Why can't we see that, right? That's the issue that I have is when I watch this football team, I don't know what I'm watching. I don't have the same feel that I know that they're going to have this identity of running the football down somebody's throat. I can't get excited about something where I don't know what the product's going to have. I've been very underwhelmed watching the Wisconsin
And if Badgers. It's not running it down their throat, it better be something else. And that's all I've been asking for. It drives me nuts to be sitting here just feeling helpless. It's just a helpless feeling. And you know why I have a problem? You know why, you know, people are going to be like, oh, it's year two. Well, guess what? When the words we shouldn't be scared about saying we're going to compete for national championships comes out of the head coach's mouth, this is how I'm going to react. Let's go to John in Milwaukee quickly before Jason Wilde.
Hey, fellas, I hate to rain on the parade and, you know, throw salt in the wounds, but here's what I can't get past, okay? Think of him whatever you want. Deion Sanders has managed to create a culture and an identity in Colorado in 2 years. Luke Fickell has not managed to do that in the same period of time. And that, you guys are right. It's distressing as heck.
Appreciate the call. I mean, yes, Deion created an identity, but they're no bueno. But I guess at least they know what they're going to do. They're gonna throw with Shadur, and Travis Hunter's a good talent. I mean, look, I'd be more excited watching that than what I'm watching from a heartless team.
They didn't put up points against Nebraska, but at least they look fun doing it.
Yeah, and Brad, I need you to tell us about Carbless, because at least I did see that people were drowning their sorrows in that.
Oh, as they should be. I went into the game just to, you know, catch a little bit of the game beforehand, and obviously it didn't go well, but it went well for the fans that got Karbliss, because Karbliss is inside Camp Randall. Two things that I love, Camp Randall Stadium and Karbliss. You can experience both of them in Madison and anywhere around the great state of Wisconsin. I mean, with their reach now, I don't know where you're listening to this. It just might be your near area, and if you haven't tried it, now is the time. It's finally time to try, because you know what? It's a guilt-free drinking experience. When I am able to sit back, relax, have my ready-to-drink Karbliss cocktail, I know that inside that can, there's no carbs, no sugars, no gluten, less carbonation. I'm telling you, you got to experience the less carbonation for yourself, and to be able to truly understand how it increases the drinking experience and how it makes your body feel. Experience that less carbonation for yourself, and only 100 calories per can. I saw black raspberry all around Camp Randall. No surprise, this is one of the best flavors they have. But in addition to that, there's cranberry. There's black raspberry. There's lemon lime. The classic cocktails of margarita and Moscow Mule. The margarita four-pack is still unbelievable right now, even as the fall enters. There's so many reasons to drink Karbliss. If you haven't drank Karbliss and discovered why this is more, now's the time to finally jump on the bandwagon with me. Find Karbliss online and at retailers near you.
Jason Wilde joins us next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
I said, baby, we got to do more sucking. And so I called the company. I said, listen, y'all put this thing in here. Y'all need to come on.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Joining us now on Kyle Brustin Nortman is Jason Wilde. They listen to Jason every weekday, 9 to noon, across these very stations. Jason, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, what was the most interesting thing you learned in media availability over the last 50 minutes or so?
Well, Matt LaFleur claiming that he hasn't talked to the medical staff intentionally, so he wouldn't have to answer questions. I'll say this. One of the things that I thought was interesting, and you know, we don't know what Jordan Morgan's status is going to be, but he had been rotating with Sean Ryan at right guard. They rotated Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine. They're playing a ton of guys on their defensive line, and they're playing a ton of guys, obviously, in the offense. They're rotating different receivers in. Obviously, Josh Jacobs handled the lion's share of the reps at running back, but no, and I just said to Matt, I said, look, I know this isn't middle school basketball, which I have some experience with, by the way. I didn't say that part to him. But, like, is there value cool. in the team to have all these guys getting involved? And he said, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting because they're a young team. They're the youngest in the league, even younger than they were last year. And I think that this, like, keeps – I don't want to sound like the old man yelling at the cloud – but it keeps a younger generation of player engaged. Matt LaFleur said it himself that there are guys that, you know, there's hope. Even if you're not starting, there's a chance you're going to contribute on game day, and that has a value. So that was, you know, it just kind of popped into my head while we were talking with him. But to me, the biggest thing, obviously, is two things. One, what is Love's status going to be? What's their approach going to be? He did say something that he had not said last week, when he was saying that Love didn't have to practice in order to play. He did indicate that this week, if he's going to play, you'd like him to get in some reps, especially since it would be 2 weeks that he's been out. That's a long time. So that was interesting. And then the other part that I had asked him about, look, yesterday was Star Spangled Awesome. They deserve a ton of credit for a very effective game plan that was executed extremely well. Congratulations. Now everyone saw it, including the Tennessee Titans. So how are you going to now design another game plan in spite of everything that you just put on film and still be able to run the football and take the heat off of Malik Willis if he does indeed have to start in Tennessee? Those are all questions that they have to figure out the answers to.
Jason, they all count the same in the win-loss column. Win, as far as yesterday. But does this win mean a little bit more for this team? How much they had to overcome, play together, mm-hmm. and how much they needed, like, big steps from a lot of different position groups. Does this win mean more?
Yeah, not anymore, Brad, because we're past the 24-hour rule, right? You know that.
Of course.
Playing the league, and I brought that up to Matt, too. But the bottom line is, of course it did. Like, they overcame a ton of adversity, and quite frankly, their quarterback, who in my opinion didn't get a fair shake in in Tennessee and now is potentially going to go back there to play. So I saved my question about whether his even-keeled nature is going to do him a lot of good or if he's going to be able to keep that when he's playing against the former team that didn't exactly do him right during his time there. But absolutely it had more value. And I'll tell you this, I'm not willing to put him ahead of you. But among the storylines that were missed was Daniel Whelan booting the ball the way he did.
Sure I mean, did.
You know, the B-52 bomber was something else, but you even had to watch him and go, wow.
It was a wow game for him, and you're kind of waiting for that to happen, being now a second-year guy, and he really came into his own, hit some big kicks when it mattered. So as a former punter, I love seeing that from Daniel Whelan.
Jason, when you looked at the game yesterday, was it the Packers' defense that made Anthony Richardson look that way, or just the Colts' offense isn't as good as people thought they were going into the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was obviously it was a combination of both, right? But, you know, I didn't think Richardson made a ton of plays the previous week against Houston, which has a good defense. He made some that were obviously huge. But, you know, I was thinking about this today when I saw that the Panthers have benched Bryce Young. You know, I look at Malik Willis, I look at Jordan Love, I look at Aaron Rodgers. Now, some guys like Justin Herbert have hit the ground running and been successful almost right away. But Anthony Richardson, you know, he starts four games last year. He hurts his arm. He's out for the rest of the year. He has surgery. He just looks like a guy who doesn't quite know what he's doing yet. He's big. He's strong. He's got a cannon for an arm. But he doesn't sometimes know where to put it or how accurately to throw it. So I think it's going to be a process for him, and I think the Packers' defense was good, but he certainly contributed to that.
We'll see how this goes because it never fits the line of questioning that you like. Who, and you can only pick one with no explanation, has had a better impact the first 2 weeks of the free agents, Xavier McKinney or Josh Jacobs?
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for having me on. I know you're up against the top of the hour. So take care. Be good.
That's Jason Boldy on brand as always. Listen to him 9 to noon across these very stations. It is the true 414 hour at 4. No Beaver Dam. Jim, Matt, Molly, and Madison. We're back in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The Damn Sports Show, Beaver Dam. Gonna give them all your money. Radio plays what they want you to hear.